Chapter 1. The stranger came early in February, on a cold winter's day of wind and snow. He walked over the hill from Bramblehurst railway station, carrying a little black bag. He was wearing a big coat and black gloves. He was covered from head to foot. His hat hid his face, and only the shiny end of his nose was visible. There was snow on his shoulders. He entered the Coach and Horses Inn and put his bag down. "A fire!" he cried. "Please, I need a room and a fire." Mrs. Hall, the landlady of the inn, showed him into the guest parlour. She asked for £2 for a room, and he paid her the money. Mrs. Hall lit the fire and went to prepare him a meal. She was happy that she had a guest at her inn. Visitors were rare in the winter time. She told the maid Millie to prepare a room for the new guest. She put the meat on the fire and then carried the plates and glasses into the guest parlour. The fire was burning brightly, so she was surprised to see that the visitor was still in his hat and coat. He was standing by the window with his back to her, watching the snow. She noticed that the melting snow on his shoulders was falling on the floor. "Can I take your hat and coat, sir?" she asked. "I can dry them in the kitchen." "No," he said. "I want to keep them on." He turned his head and looked at her. She saw that he was wearing dark glasses. He had a thick beard. She could not see his face at all. "As you wish, sir," she said. "The room will be warmer soon." He did not answer and turned his face away again. Mrs. Hall laid the table and left the room. When she came back, he was still standing there, like a man of stone. She placed the food on the table. "Your lunch is ready, sir," she said. "Thank you," he replied. He did not move until she was at the door. Then he turned around and went to the table. Mrs. Hall went to the kitchen and filled the mustard pot. She took the pot and carried it into the parlour. She knocked on the door. As she entered, the stranger made a quick movement and she saw something white behind the table. She placed the mustard pot on the table, and she noticed his coat and hat were on a chair in front of the fire. "May I have them dried now?" she asked. "Leave the hat," said the visitor. He had raised his head and was looking at her. Mrs. Hall was too surprised to speak. For a moment she stood looking at him. He was holding a white napkin over his mouth. The top of his head and his ears were covered with a white bandage. She could only see the end of his shiny pink nose. He was wearing a dark brown jacket with a high black collar turned up. His thick black hair came out through the bandages on his head. This gave him a very strange appearance. He kept holding the napkin over his mouth. She saw he was still wearing gloves and was looking at her from behind the dark glasses. "Leave the hat," he said again. Mrs. Hall placed the hat back on the chair by the fire. "I didn't know, sir, that..." She stopped. "Thank you," he said. "I'll have it nicely dried, sir," she said, and carried his coat out of the room. She was shaking as she closed the door. "My goodness," she whispered. The visitor sat and listened to her footsteps. He looked out of the window for a moment. Then he stood up, walked across the room and pulled down the blind. The room was almost dark now. He returned to the table and continued eating. "The poor man has had an accident," Mrs. Hall said to herself. "Those bandages gave me a shock, and those glasses. He doesn't look like a human, and the napkin in front of his mouth. Perhaps his mouth was hurt too." When Mrs. Hall went back to the parlour to clear the table, she saw that the stranger was sitting by the fire. He looked more comfortable and relaxed, but his mouth was still covered. "I have some bags and boxes at Bramblehurst Station," he said. "Can someone bring them for me?" "I can send someone tomorrow, sir," said Mrs. Hall. "Tomorrow," he said. "Can someone get them today?" "No, sir," replied Mrs. Hall. "It's snowing, and the road is bad. A carriage had an accident there last year, A gentleman and his coachman were killed. Accidents happen in a moment, don't they?
They do, said the visitor.
My sister's son had an accident in the field, and he hurt himself badly. He had to stay in bed for 3 months, sir.
I can understand that, said the visitor.
We were afraid that he'd have to have an operation. He was in a bad condition.
The visitor laughed.
Was he? He asked.
He was, sir. He had to wear a lot of bandages. My sister had to do them and undo them every day.
Sir, may I ask?
Thank you, said the visitor.
He turned his head away. Mrs. Hall stopped.
The man was very rude, and she was angry at him.
But she remembered the money and quietly left the room.
The visitor stayed in the parlour until 4 o'clock. He sat by the fire as the room got darker and darker. Once or twice, he walked up and down the room. He seemed to be talking to himself. Then he sat down again in the armchair. At 4 o'clock, it was quite dark, and the snow was falling faster. Mr. Henfrey, the clockmender, came into the inn.
Good evening, Mrs. Hall, he said.
The weather is terrible.
Good evening, Mr. Henfrey, she replied.
I'm glad you are here. Could you look at the old clock in the guest parlour? It's not working.
She showed him the way to the parlour. She knocked on the door and entered. The stranger was asleep in the armchair in front of the fireplace. The only light in the room came from the fire. Everything in the room was dark and red. For a second, it seemed to her that the man had a very big mouth. It was wide open and covered the lower part of his face. She was shocked. Then the stranger woke up and sat up. He put up his hand. Mrs. Hall opened the door wide so that there was more light in the room. She saw him more clearly now. He looked the same as before, with the napkin in front of his mouth. The shadows must have fooled me, she thought.
Excuse me, sir, said Mrs. Hall. This man is here to look at the clock.
Look at the clock? He said sleepily.
Certainly.
Mrs. Hall went to get a lamp, and the visitor stood up. When she came back with the light, Mr. Henfrey entered the room. He was quite shocked when he saw the man's bandaged head and his dark glasses.
Good afternoon, said the stranger, looking at him. I hope that you don't mind, said Mr. Henfrey.
Not at all, replied the stranger. He turned to Mrs. Hall. But I thought this room was mine. I like to be alone. Do not disturb me.
He turned around with his back to the fireplace.
Have my boxes arrived from Bramblehurst? He asked.
The carrier will bring them tomorrow, said Mrs. Hall.
I must tell you that I am a scientist, the stranger said. I need to do some experiments, and the things I need are in the boxes. I came here to Iping because I want to be alone. I don't want to be disturbed while I'm working. Also, I had an accident.
I thought so, said Mrs. Hall to herself.
I must work in a quiet place, and my eyes are very weak, so sometimes I need to stay in the dark for hours. At such times, if anyone comes into the room and disturbs me, it gives me a lot of pain. I hope you understand.
Certainly, sir, said Mrs. Hall.
And may I ask?
That is all, said the stranger as he turned away.
Mrs. Hall left the room, and Henfrey started working on the clock. He worked while the stranger stood and watched him. He worked with the lamp close to him, and it threw a bright light on his hands and on the clock. The rest of the room was in shadow. He worked very slowly on the clock because he was curious about the stranger and hoped to talk to him. But the stranger stood there, silent and still, with his bandaged head and huge dark glasses. Henfrey felt frightened and uncomfortable. He wanted to say something.
The weather, he began.
Why don't you finish and go? Said the stranger, angrily. All you've got to do is to fix it.
Certainly, sir. 1 minute more.
He quickly finished and left. As he walked back to the village, Henfrey felt annoyed.
Can't a man look at you? Ugly, he said to himself.
At the street corner, he saw Mrs. Hall's husband, who was on his way home. Hello, Mr. Henfrey, said Mr. Hall.
"You've got a strange visitor at the inn," said Henfrey, and he told Mr. Hall all about the man. "It's very strange, isn't it?" he asked. "I think he might be hiding something, Mr. Hall. If a man wanted to stay at my place, I would ask him to show me his face. But women are trustful with strangers. He's staying at your inn, and he hasn't even given a name." When Mr. Hall arrived home, he asked his wife about the new guest. Mrs. Hall did not want to talk about it. But he was suspicious. He wanted to learn more about the man. So, after the stranger had gone upstairs to his room at about 9:30, Mr. Hall went into the guest parlour and looked around. He looked at a sheet of mathematical calculations the stranger had left. Later, he told Mrs. Hall to look very closely at the stranger's boxes when they came the next day. "You mind your own business," said Mrs. Hall. She was worried about the stranger too. In the middle of the night, she woke up dreaming that she was chased by big white heads with long necks and black eyes. The next day, the stranger's boxes arrived. One was a box full of big fat books with strange handwriting. There were more than 10 boxes that contained glass bottles. Mr. Hall was talking to the driver of the carriage when the stranger came out, wearing a hat, coat and gloves. He wanted to see his boxes. He did not notice the driver's dog lying under the carriage. "Bring my boxes inside," he said. "I've been waiting for a long time." And he came down the steps and picked up a small box. But as soon as the dog saw him, it began to growl and jumped up at the stranger and bit his hand. "Lie down!" shouted the driver to his dog. But the dog now jumped towards the stranger's leg and bit his trousers. The driver jumped down from the carriage and pulled the dog away. The stranger looked at his torn glove and at his trousers and ran up the steps into the inn and into his room. Mr. Hall stood staring. "The dog bit him," he said. "I'd better go and see if he's all right." He rushed inside and went upstairs. The stranger's door was open, so he went straight in. The blind was down and the room was dark. Then Mr. Hall saw a very strange thing. It was a handless arm and a face of three huge dark spots on white. Suddenly, Mr. Hall was struck in the chest and thrown out of the room. The door was shut and locked. Everything happened so fast that he had no time to see anything clearly. He stood in the dark corridor, wondering what he had seen. After a few minutes, Mr. Hall went back outside. A group of people were standing outside the inn. The driver was telling the story. Mrs. Hall was speaking to Mr. Huxter, the shopkeeper, and Mr. Wodgers, the blacksmith. Some women and children were asking questions. Mr. Hall stared at them from the steps. He was in shock. He did not have words to describe what he had seen upstairs. "Is he all right?" asked his wife. "Yes," he said. "He doesn't need any help. Let's carry his boxes inside." A few minutes later, the stranger came back. He was wearing new trousers and gloves. "I am really sorry, sir," said the driver. "Are you hurt?" "I'm fine," said the stranger. "Now hurry up and bring my boxes inside." The boxes were carried into the parlour, and the stranger began to unpack them. He brought out bottles, little fat bottles that contained powders, small thin bottles that contained coloured and white liquids, blue bottles that had poison labels on them, large green bottles, large white bottles, all kinds of bottles. He put them on the table under the window, on the floor, on the bookshelf. They were everywhere. When all the boxes were empty, the stranger went to the window and started working. He was so focused on his work that he did not care about the fire which had gone out or the books lying around. When Mrs. Hall brought his lunch, he did not hear her. She put the tray on the table. Then he half turned his head and immediately turned it away again. But he was not wearing glasses, and for a moment, she thought that he had no eyes. He put on his glasses and turned to her. "Knock before you come in," he said. "I knocked, but..."
"Perhaps you did. But I must not have anyone disturb me."
"Certainly, sir. You can lock the door if you like."
"A very good idea," said the stranger. "These bottles, sir, may I..."
"Don't. If it's a problem, I can pay."
He was so strange, standing there holding a bottle in one hand and a test tube in the other. He had a temper, and Mrs. Hall was quite afraid. But she was a strong woman.
"Then I would like to know, sir, how much..."
"A shilling. Put a shilling on my bill. Is it enough?"
"Certainly," said Mrs. Hall.
All afternoon, the stranger worked with the door locked. The room was quiet most of the time. Then Mrs. Hall heard a crash, the sound of a bottle breaking, and the stranger walking up and down the room. She was afraid that something was wrong, so she went to the door and listened.
"I can't go on," he was shouting. "I can't go on. 300,000, 400,000. It may take me years. Patience, patience, fool, fool."
At tea time, she brought him his tea. She saw broken glass in the corner of the room and a golden liquid on the floor.
"Put it on the bill," said the stranger angrily. "Please don't disturb me. If there's damage, put it on the bill."
After that day, nothing strange happened. Mrs. Hall was unhappy about the untidy room and the noise, but the stranger paid his bills on time, and that was enough for her. Mr. Hall did not like the stranger and avoided him as much as possible. The stranger spent most days working. Sometimes he came down early and was busy all day. Sometimes he would get up late and walk up and down in his room, talking to himself for hours. He had no contact with the outside world. He seemed very annoyed about something and talked to himself. Although Mrs. Hall listened outside the door, she understood nothing. He rarely went out during the day, but in the evening, he would go out. He was always covered up, in cold or warm weather. He chose the quieter roads. His dark glasses and bandaged face under his big hat frightened the people that met him, especially in the dark. The people of the village of Iping frequently talked about the stranger. They had different opinions about him. Mrs. Hall said that he was a scientist. She explained that he had had an accident and did not want people to see the marks on his body. Some others thought he was a criminal hiding from the police. A few others said he was harmlessly mad, and some people thought he was a spirit or a magician. The people of Iping did not like the man. He was always angry and unfriendly. People avoided him when he walked through the village. Young people made fun of him by walking behind him with their coat collars up and their hat brims down. Little children chased after him. Dr. Cuss, the local doctor, was very curious about the stranger. He was interested in the bandages and the bottles that he had heard about. He wanted to talk to him, and finally in May he had a chance to visit the man. When Mrs. Hall told him that she did not know the stranger's name, he was very surprised. Dr. Cuss knocked on the parlor door and entered. "Forgive me for disturbing you," he said, and closed the door. Mrs. Hall was listening outside the door. She could hear the two men talking for the next 10 minutes. Then she heard a cry of surprise, the sound of a chair falling, a laugh, and then footsteps towards the door. The door opened and Cuss appeared, his face white. Without looking at her, he ran across the hall, down the steps and left the inn. Mrs. Hall stood there, looking at the open parlour door. Then she heard the stranger moving across the room, laughing quietly. The door shut, and the place was silent again. Cuss went into the village to the vicar's house. "Mr. Bunting, am I mad?" he asked as he entered the little study. "Do I look like a crazy person?"
"What's happened?" asked the vicar.
"That man at the inn."
"Well?"
"I went to visit him," he said. "I told him that I had heard about his interest in science. He said, 'Yes,
I asked him about his research. He said, yes. I asked him, does it take a long time?
Yes, he said angrily. Then he began to tell me about a piece of paper. He said it was a very important piece of paper with a list of things to make a special liquid. I asked him if it was for a medicine. Then he got very angry.
What do you want to know? He shouted.
I apologized. He said he had put the list down on the table and the wind from the window had lifted the paper and blown it into the fireplace. He had run after it, but it was too late.
Interesting, said Bunting. But then, as he was telling me that, he lifted his arm, and I saw it. There was no hand, no hand, just an empty sleeve.
What can keep that sleeve up and open if there's nothing in it?
There was nothing in it.
Well, that's all. The man did not say a word. He just looked at me angrily and put his sleeve back in his pocket.
How can you move an empty sleeve like that? I asked him.
Empty sleeve?
You saw it was an empty sleeve, he said and stood up.
He came towards me and stood quite close.
You said it was an empty sleeve, he repeated.
Certainly, I said. Then he pulled his sleeve out of his pocket again and raised his arm towards me. He did it very, very slowly. I looked at it.
Well, I said, there's nothing in it.
Well, said Bunting.
I was getting frightened. It was very strange to see an empty sleeve come at you like that. And then,
well, something, it felt like a finger and thumb, pulled my nose.
Bunting began to laugh.
There was nothing there, said Cuss.
You may laugh, but I was shocked. I pushed away his sleeve, turned around and ran out of the room.
Cuss paused.
When I touched his sleeve, it felt exactly like touching an arm. But there was no arm.
Bunting looked at Cuss.
It's a very strange story, he said. He looked very serious.
It really is a very strange story.
The burglary at the vicar's house happened early one Monday morning while Mr. and Mrs. Bunting were asleep. Mrs. Bunting woke up when she heard the bedroom door open and close. She sat up in bed listening. Then she heard someone walking down the stairs, so she woke her husband up as quietly as possible. Mr. Bunting put on his glasses and his slippers and went out of the bedroom to listen. He heard someone in his study downstairs and then a loud sneeze. He went back to his bedroom and picked up the poker too from the fireplace. Then very quietly, he went downstairs. It was about 4 o'clock, so it was quite dark. Everything was quiet and still. Mr. Bunting moved quietly in the hall. Then he heard a drawer being opened and a sound of papers. A match was lit, and the study was full of yellow light. The door of the study was half open, and Mr. Bunting could see the desk and the open drawer and a candle burning on the desk. But he could not see the burglar. He stood there in the hall, and Mrs. Bunting, her face white, walked slowly downstairs after him. Then they heard the clinking of coins. The burglar had found the money in the desk, £2.10. Mr. Bunting was angry. He rushed into the room holding the poker. Mrs. Bunting ran in after him.
Stop! Shouted Mr. Bunting.
The room was empty, but they were certain that they had heard someone moving in the room. They stood there for a minute, trying to understand. Mrs. Bunting went across the room and looked behind the curtain, and Mr. Bunting looked under the desk and up the chimney.
The candle, said Mr. Bunting. Who lit the candle?
The drawer, said Mrs. Bunting. And the money's gone. There was a sneeze outside the door. They ran out and heard the kitchen door close.
Bring the candle, said Mr. Bunting.
They ran to the kitchen. As he opened the kitchen door, he saw the back door open. Mr. Bunting was certain that nothing had gone out of the door. It opened and then closed shut. They entered the kitchen. The place was empty. They locked the back door and searched the kitchen and all the rooms. There was no one in the house. At about the same time that Monday morning, Mr. Hall woke up. He noticed that the stranger's door was half open. He went downstairs. The front door was unlocked. He was sure that he had locked the door the night before. He did not understand. He went upstairs to the stranger's room and knocked on the door. There was no answer, so he entered. The room was empty, and the stranger's clothes, hat, and bandages were lying on the bed. This was very strange. As Mr. Hall stood there, he heard his wife calling for him from the kitchen downstairs. He turned and hurried down to get her. "Jenny, the man is not in his room," he said, "and the front door is unlocked." They decided to check the stranger's room, and as they went up the stairs, they heard the front door open and shut. Then they heard a sneeze on the staircase. Mr. Hall was behind, so he thought it was his wife sneezing, and she thought it was him. Mrs. Hall opened the door and looked around the room. "This is very strange," she said. She heard a cough close behind her and turned to see her husband. She was surprised to see he was not close to her. She put her hand on the pillow. "The bed is cold," she said. "He's been up for more than an hour." And at that moment, something very strange happened. The clothes on the bed started moving. It was as if something picked them up and threw them on the floor. The hat flew up and into Mrs. Hall's face. Then the chair jumped up, laughed, and started chasing Mrs. Hall. She ran out of the room, her husband following her. The door shut close and was locked. Then there was silence. Mrs. Hall almost passed out outside the door. Mr. Hall and Millie the maid carried her downstairs with great difficulty. "Ghosts," said Mrs. Hall. "I know it is ghosts. I've read about them in the papers. Tables and chairs were dancing." Mr. Hall tried to calm her down. "Lock him out," said Mrs. Hall. "Don't let him come in again. I knew it. With those ease and bandaged heat and all those bottles, he has put ghosts into my furniture." They sent Millie to wake Mr. Wadgers up, who lived across the street. He was a clever man and could help them. Mr. Wadgers came to the inn very worried. They wanted him to go upstairs to the stranger's room, but he said it was a bad idea. Then Mr. Huckster arrived. There was a lot of talk, but nothing was done. "Let's have the facts first," said Mr. Wadgers. "We must be sure that breaking the door open is the right thing to do." Suddenly, the door of the room upstairs opened. They all looked up in surprise and saw the stranger coming down the stairs. He was wrapped up in his bandages and wearing his large glasses as usual. He moved slowly, watching them, and then he stopped. He entered the guest parlour and shut the door. The others looked at each other. "Well, this is very strange," said Mr. Wadgers. He turned to Mr. Hall. "If I were you, I'd go in and ask for an explanation." Mr. Hall did not want to do that. But after some time, they were able to persuade him. He knocked and opened the door. "Excuse me, go away," shouted the stranger, "and shut that door." The stranger had been in the guest parlour since 5:30 that morning. It was now midday. He rang the bell for food 3 times, but no one answered him. Soon they heard the news of the burglary at the vicar's house. They could hear the stranger talking to himself, walking up and down the room, breaking bottles. Then more people started arriving at the inn. Mrs. Huckster came. Then some young men joined the group. There were many questions. One of the boys went outside and tried to look in through the window. He could see nothing. At about noon, the stranger opened the parlour door and stood looking at the people. "Mrs. Hall," he called. Mrs. Hall appeared after a few minutes. "Do you want your bill, sir?" she asked. "Where is my breakfast? Why haven't you brought my meals and answered my bell?" He was shouting now. "Why isn't my bill paid?" said Mrs. Hall. "That's what I want to know." "I told you 3 days ago that I was waiting for some payment." "I told you 2 days ago that I wasn't going to wait." "Look here," said the stranger, even more angrily. I've told you my payment hasn't come. You told me 3 days ago that you didn't have any money. Well, I've found some more. I wonder where you found it, said Mrs. Hall. What do you mean? Asked the stranger. He seemed very annoyed. Where did you find the money? Asked Mrs. Hall. And before I do anything, I want you to explain to me 2 things. I want to know what you have been doing to my chair upstairs, and I want to know why your room was empty and how you got in again. Suddenly the stranger raised his gloved hands. Stop, he shouted. You don't understand who I am or what I am, but I'll show you. All the people gathered behind Mrs. Hall. The stranger put his hand over his face and then took it away. The center of his face became a black hole. He stepped forward and gave something to Mrs. Hall. When she saw what it was, she screamed loudly and dropped it. It was the stranger's pink and shiny nose. Then he removed his glasses, took off his hat, his beard, and his bandages. Everyone took a deep breath. Oh my God! Exclaimed someone. Mrs. Hall, open-mouthed and horrified, screamed and ran to the door of the inn. No one had expected this. They were prepared for scars, burns, something ugly, but not this. There was nothing. They could see the man from the neck down, but from the neck up, there was nothing, no head. The people started running out of the inn. Mrs. Hall fell, and Mr. Henfrey jumped over her. Millie came out of the kitchen and screamed with terror when she ran into the headless stranger. Everyone on the village street, young and old, heard the cries and came running. There were 40 people in front of the inn now. They were talking at the same time, asking questions. What was he doing? Did he hurt the girl? He ran at them with a knife. No head, I tell you, no head. Then Mr. Hall returned, very red and determined. With him were Mr. Wodgers and Mr. Jaffers, the village policemen. They walked up the steps, went straight to the parlour door, opened it and went in. They saw the headless figure facing them, with a half-eaten piece of bread in one gloved hand and some cheese in the other. That's him, said Mr. Hall. What is this? Said the voice coming from the headless figure. Head or no head, said Mr. Jaffers. I have to arrest you, mister. Keep off, said the figure, jumping back. He threw away the bread and cheese, took off his left glove and slapped it in Jaffers' face. Jaffers held him by the wrist and caught his invisible throat. The stranger kicked him hard, but Jaffers kept holding him. A chair went down with a crash as they fell together. Get the feet, said Jaffers. Mr. Hall tried to help Jaffers, but he got a kick in the ribs that stopped him for a moment. Mr. Wodgers moved towards the door and bumped into Mr. Huckster and the driver who had come in to help them. Some bottles came crashing down on the floor. A sharp smell filled the room. All right, I give in, cried the stranger. He stood up, breathless. He was a strange figure, headless and handless. Jaffers got up too. Suddenly the stranger moved his arm down his waistcoat and undid the buttons. Then he bent down. He seemed to be touching his shoes. Why? Cried Huckster. That's not a man at all. It's just empty clothes. Look, you can see down his collar and inside his clothes. I could put my hand. He tried to touch the stranger's collar, but it seemed to meet something in the air. Keep your fingers out of my eye, said the stranger's angry voice. I'm all here, head, hands, legs, and all the rest, but I am invisible. That doesn't mean you can put your fingers in my eye, does it? His clothes were now unbuttoned and hanging loosely. Several others had come in. The room was quite crowded now. Invisible, said Huckster. That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. It's strange, but it's not a crime, said the stranger. Why am I attacked by a policeman? Ah, that's different, said Jaffers. I must arrest you, but not because you are invisible. It's about a burglary. A house has been robbed. Well? And it seems that you... Never, said the invisible man. I hope so, sir, but I have to arrest you. Well, said the stranger, I'll come, but no handcuffs. Suddenly the figure sat down, and before anyone could do anything, he took off his slippers, socks, and trousers. Then he stood up and took off his coat. "Stop that," said Jaffers, realizing what was happening. "Hold him, if he gets his clothes off." "Hold him," cried everyone as they tried to hold on to the white shirt, which was now the only visible part of the stranger. Suddenly the shirt sleeve was slapped in Hall's face, which threw him backward into an old man. In another moment the shirt was lifted up. They realized that the stranger was taking it off. Jaffers tried to hold it, but he was struck in the mouth, and when he threw his stick into the air, it came crushing down on Henfrey's head. "Look out!" cried everybody. "Hold him! Shut the door! Don't let him go!" It was chaos. Everybody was being hit all at once. Wodgers opened the door and went out. The others followed him. The hitting continued. One man had a broken tooth and another had a bleeding ear. Jaffers was struck under the jaw, and suddenly he caught at something that stood between him and Huckster. "I got him!" shouted Jaffers, trying to hold on to the unseen man. The men fell right and left as they moved towards the house door and down the steps of the inn. They were all outside now. Jaffers was trying to keep hold of the stranger, but when he fell crashing down on the ground, he had to let go. It was too late. On the other side of the road, a woman screamed as something pushed by her. A dog ran away howling. The invisible man was gone. The people stood amazed for some time and then started running in panic. Jaffers lay quite still, face upward and knees bent.